الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 22nd of June in the year 2021 الحمد لله we moved on to the 93rd night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm on number 17 with regards to his rank and status. And the hadith, in which our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a hypocrite will not love Ali, whilst a believer will not hate, despise, or be jealous of him. So this is an authentic hadith in Nasa'i and Sahih in As-Sahih, number 4187. So the last point I mentioned yesterday was some ignoramuses, they then target the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, Hazrat Muawiyah being on top of the list radiyallahu. And they state that Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu was a hypocrite, a'udhu billah, because not only did he have hatred for Ali, but he openly displayed this by not only opposing him, but eventually sending forces to fight against him. So this is their argument. So this needs to be explained. So obviously I'm going to mention it at length at the relevant time, but I'll mention the summary here. The third illustrious Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu, he had heroically laid down his life and withheld the sword from being unleashed against the Muslims for as long as he was able to. Sayyidina Thawban radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the sword is drawn in my ummah, it will not be withdrawn from them till the last hour. Subhanallah. When the sword is drawn in my ummah, it will not be withdrawn from them till the last hour. This is in Tirmidhi number 2209, Hasan Sahih. Ahmad in his Musnad number 22,550. So just reflecting upon this authentic hadith, this is a sign of Nabuwwah. Because has the sword ever been put back? Once that sword was unleashed, you notice there's always pockets everywhere where the Muslims are, you know, fighting. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it will never be put back till the last hour. Upon his tragic martyrdom, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was now sworn into the elite office. There then arose the famous disagreement between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu concerning the capture and execution of Uthman's assassins radiallahu anhu. This disagreement regrettably took the form of a battle and laid the foundation for the sad split of the Muslim Ummah. But this is the key. Every sober and sane person knows the differences between these personalities were based solely on the deen. So I'll say that again. Every sober and sane person knows the differences between these illustrious personalities were based solely on the deen. Like we say in today's day and age, nothing personal. There was nothing personal with Ali against Muawiyah. And there was nothing personal with Muawiyah against Ali. It was based upon their understanding of the events. So to prove this, in Sahih Bukhari, number 3430, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the day of judgment will not arrive until two parties fight with similar claims. The day of judgment will not arrive until two parties fight with similar claims. So who is the Prophet referring to there? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's like putting a glove on the hand. Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting to avenge Uthman's murders. And so was Muawiyah. They both had similar claims. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qiyamah will not strike until two parties fight with similar claims. And secondly, in Sahih Muslim, number 2327, Abu Dawud Mishkat, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there would be two groups at odds in my ummah. Then there would emerge another group, i.e. the Khawarij, the group nearer to the truth between the original two would destroy it. So let's look at this. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say clearly in Sahih Muslim? There will be two groups at odds in my ummah. The same odds, Ali and Muawiyah, radiyallahu anhum. Then there would emerge another firqa. The Prophet used the word firqa, i.e. a sect. The group nearer to the truth between the original two would destroy it. So out of Hazrat Ali and Muawiyah's forces, who dealt with the Khawarij? It was Hazrat Ali. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Look how he's describing the two groups. The group nearer to the truth. So the original two groups, the Prophet is stamping them. They're both on haq. However, one of the two is more on haq. And the one who's more on haq, they will deal with the firqa, the Khawarij. Imam Nawawi commented on this hadith. The great Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh, in Sharh Sahih Muslim, volume 7, page 235, he said, this is a declaration that both parties are believers, and fighting each other does not cancel their iman. Indeed, they should not even be called impious. So Imam Nawawi said from this beautiful hadith, we take three things. Both the parties, they were fighting, there was a war. But they are still believers, because you can only be on haq if you're a believer. So when people get emotional, how can they both be on haq? Brother, look, you're getting emotional. What did the Prophet say? He goes, the group nearer to the truth, they're both on haq. So yes, there was a war, but don't stress that. They're both on haq. Then Imam Nawawi said, fighting each other does not cancel iman. Though they were fighting and they killed, it doesn't take away the iman. And thirdly, he said, you can't even call them impious. If somebody's on the haq, do you say he's committed a sin? Right? You only say a sin has been committed if somebody is not on the haq. So note, the Prophet was using precise words because he was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is known historically, it was Ali radiallahu anhu's forces that dealt with the Khawarij. The blessed scholars have therefore gone on to say, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's side, they were in the right. However, Muawiyah's side radiallahu anhu was also correct in their ijtihad. For Rasulullah clearly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the group nearer to the truth, meaning both were following the truth, be it so, one more than the other. So, have you understood? So, it's not, you know, deduction, right? Somebody says, look, that's your opinion. I've got my opinion. I think Muawiyah is wrong. I think he's, in fact, I say he's munafiq, because the Prophet said anybody who was hated for Ali is a munafiq. Okay? There's a problem with that. The problem with that is, you've looked at one report. What else did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? And he clearly talked about the civil war. And he said the group nearer to the truth. So if Muawiyah, a'udhu billah, and his forces were munafiqs, how can they be upon the truth? So the response is, you made a serious mistake. It is for this reason that each of the parties acknowledged the other's religious standing and personal attributes, and they would make them known. Now think about that. When have two forces who are fighting each other praised each other? It's unheard of. Imagine if Winston Churchill praised Hitler. Right? Or Hitler praised Winston Churchill. It doesn't happen. But we get reports where both sides were praising each other. Why were they praising each other? Because they acknowledged they were on haq. So to give you a proof, Ali radiallahu anhu said of Muawiyah when he was returning from Siffin, the war, O people, do not disapprove of Muawiyah's authority, radiallahu anhu, for verily if you lose, you will witness heads falling from their shoulders, just as the fruits of the wild gourd tree breaks and falls. This is in Al-Bidayah, volume 8, page 131. So think about it. I'll get to what happened during the Battle of Siffin. They're returning, and there's no ultimate end to the battle. It was basically a stalemate. So when Ali was returning, was he saying ill of Muawiyah? No. He goes, don't disapprove of his authority. If we lose, meaning authority goes to Muawiyah, because you will see heads falling, meaning he will deal with you. Was he belittling Muawiyah? No, he was praising him, radiallahu. Similarly, the grandson of Rasulullah, the great martyr, Imam Hussein, radiallahu, what did he say? I heard my father Ali, radiallahu, saying that Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an affair lingering day and night will not come to an end until Muawiyah is at the helm of the state. Radiallahu. This is in Daylami, Al-Bidayah, and Imam Ibn Kathir said it with a sahih chain of transmission. So look at this for the chain. Somebody goes, you know, what's the chain? He goes, part of the chain is this. Imam Hussein, is he daif? Radiallahu. He hears it from Ali, who hears it from Rasulullah, Ahlul Bayt chain. And Ali and Hussein were opposing Muawiyah. Why on earth would they relate a hadith praising their opponent? What did they say? I heard my father Ali saying that Rasulullah said. Now think about it. If you're saying this about your enemy, how demoralizing is that going to be for your troops? And yeah, he said it. Because I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an affair lingering day and night, meaning it's going to take a while to resolve, will not come to an end until Muawiyah is at the helm of the state. Meaning the only way this problem is going to be solved is Muawiyah has to become the ruler. And it's from Rasulullah. Now think about these statements. I'm mentioning it as if they're normal statements. How did the Prophet know this? He's talking about something 25 years after he leaves the world. Imagine he's talking as if he's already been played out. All of this has been played out. And what's shocking is who's remembering these reports? The one who are opposing Muawiyah radiallahu. In a similar report, Ali radiallahu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before the world ends, the Muslim Ummah will agree to the rule of Muawiyah. Before the world ends, the Muslim Ummah will agree to the rule of Muawiyah radiallahu. This is in Nu'im ibn Hamad and Al-Bidayah. So again, Ali relates it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, the Ummah will agree to Muawiyah's rule. And they did in the 40th year after the Hijrah. Subhanallah, such was the pure and unblemished soul of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu, that he did not hide the virtues of even his opponent at the time. So now leaving aside the greatness of Ali radiallahu, because we know he's a pure man. How could you find fault with Muawiyah? Look how, you know, ironic the situation is. You're supposed to be supporting Ali, saying, I'm with him. You're not with him. Because if you're with him, you would be happy with his statements. Have you understood? When you say you're with him, you have to be with him in his understanding. You can't say, I'm with Ali, but I'm against his understanding, what he said about Muawiyah. What sort of a support is that? You might as well join your kufan brothers, astaghfirullah. Conversely, let's turn to Muawiyah radiallahu. Hazrat Muawiyah constantly acknowledged Ali's greatness and superiority. Few examples. Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar, volume 3, page 140, states Sahih al-Bidayah. A delegation came to Muawiyah radiallahu and asked him, do you consider yourself to be superior to Ali? He remarked, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not hold that opinion at all. I am fully aware that Ali radiallahu is superior to me and more worthy for authority. And the report continues. Now think about this. This is a Sahih Hadith. A delegation came. Why? Because people are stirring it up. So people were spreading the rumor. Muawiyah thinks he's greater than Ali. But people say no. So this delegation actually went to him. He didn't say no. He goes, Qasam, you know, you put your hand on the Quran. So any pious person, if he puts his hand on the Quran, is he going to lie? Sahaba's doing it. Because I swear by Allah, never had that understanding at all. Never had that opinion. Ali is far greater than me. But it is between the issue of Uthman's murder. And where's the report for that? In Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 129, volume 8, page 259, Muawiyah was declared an oath, radiallahu, Ali is superior to me. The only dispute between us is the issue of retaliation for Uthman, radiallahu. If he retaliates for him, I will be the first amongst the Syrians to take the oath of allegiance at his hands. So the matter is clear. Both sides were acknowledging each other. Why were they acknowledging each other? Because they were making it crystal clear to the entire ummah, this is a Shariat reason. There's nothing personal on both sides. Yes, you may get fruitcakes, which I'll describe at the relevant time, on both sides who've enlisted, who have those warped views, but not the commanders of the forces. They didn't have that in the least. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu confirmed this stance by Muawiyah even from the Rawafid sources. Let me mention a Rawafid source. Najul Balagha, volume 3, page 648. So this is a Shia reference. Al-Sharif al-Ridni, he relates that Ali radiallahu anhu said, in the beginning of our matter, the people of Sham and us met. It is one. We do not see ourselves more in Iman, in Allah, or more in believing His Messenger than them, nor they do us. Our matter is one, except for our disagreement in Uthman's blood, and we are innocent of his murder. So even in the Rawafid references, exactly the same statements being made by Ali radiallahu anhu, because we're not saying we're better than them, they're believers. They're not saying that they're better than us. The only difference we have is through with Uthman's murder, how to deal with it. Who's paying Najal Balagha to make these statements? So note, again, it's mentioned clearly. Thus Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was confirming that the conflict between him and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was about the murder of Uthman radiallahu anhu, not due to hatred or for the sake of leadership, as the ignoramuses often assert. So for instance, you hear it again and again, because Muawiyah was a master tactician. He saw an opening, and the opening he saw was, if Uthman, his cousin, is killed, he could use that and manipulate his way into power, though he was of a lower rank amongst the companions. This is the absurdity that comes out of their mouths. So the first thing to point out is, didn't Muawiyah love Uthman, his cousin? They give you the impression that he's in the way. His own cousin's in the way to my authority. Secondly, if he hated him, why did he wait 20 years? Think about that, right? 20 years he was the governor. 10 years maybe in Uthman's caliphate, radiallahu. And then he's not bothered about the Muslims. Let the blood be spilled. Let the blood flow like rivers. I want authority. So it's preposterous to even think that about a normal righteous Muslim, let alone a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's what they want to make you believe. Imagine, astaghfirullah. Simply put, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and his party, which included far superior souls such as Zubair, Talha, two of the 10 Prophets' paradise, the mother of the believers Aisha, and many others, they all thought they were correct in their stance, and they knew full well that many of the munafiqs and mischief mongers had now sided on Ali's side, thus their opposition to the Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu. So this is so important. Everybody agreed to Abu Bakr's Khalifah. Everybody agreed to Umar's Khalifah. Everybody agreed to Uthman's Khalifah. Many of the Sahaba did not pledge to Ali. Think about that. You know, if you reflect upon that, this was the first time there was no consensus. Though we believe 100% he was Khalifa Rashidi. Why is that important to highlight? Because why are you putting all the blame on Muawiyah? Think about that. Many did not pledge to him, including Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Why? Because of his stance with regards to how to deal with Uthman's murder. And this one report sums up how much love he had for him. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's deep love and affection for his illustrious cousin Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu can be vividly gauged from the following touching report. So this report sums you up. You don't need to know anything else. So So this is recorded by Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr in his Al-Istiyab, volume 3, page 44. Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, volume 1, page 84. Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 96 to 8 of the New English Translation. And many other references. Dirar ibn Damira Kinani, rahmatullah alayh. He once came to Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu. And Hazrat Muawiyah asked him, describe Ali to me. So stop in the report. So Dirar was a follower of Ali. He was on Ali's side during the troubles, the civil wars. This is the year of delegations, when people are pledging allegiance to Muawiyah. So Hazrat Muawiyah is asking a tabi'in. Look how interesting that is. Because describe Ali to me. So what's strange about that? Why is a sahaba asking a tabi'in? That's, you could reflect upon it. It should be the other way around. So Dirar ibn Damira Kinani, he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, please excuse me from this. In other words, I don't want to stir up any emotions because you're asking me a very simple question. I'm in your courtroom. But if I start mentioning Ali's virtues, he goes, you might think I'm causing sedition again. Hazrat Muawiyah replied, I'm not excusing you. I'm ordering you. He goes, mention Ali radiallahu anhu. So Dirar ibn Damira Kinani, he said, if I am forced, then listen. Meaning, don't blame me. I'm going to now describe him. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Ali radiallahu was a man of high objectives. I.e. he had immense honor. So stop with the report. That is a bayan in itself. Ali was a man of high objectives. What does that mean? The believers always got high objectives. So for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Hasan Hadith, the highest objective in the believer's life is Salah. The highest objective in the believer's life is Salah. Meaning that's the priority. Everything is geared around his Salat. What do? That's the most of us. It's all geared around either the family or work or, you know, God knows what else. So the first thing he said, I swear a qasam. Ali was a man of high objectives, always had the correct priorities in order. Then he said, he was a man of tremendous strength. Always spoke decisively, passed judgment with utmost accuracy. So he was like a lion. You know, his mother called him Haider, the lion, never defeated on the battlefield. He goes, and his judgments were precise. He goes, because we couldn't find fault with his judgments. He was very eloquent. Then he said, knowledge seemed to burst forth from his every limb. Because every part of his body was oozing with knowledge. What does that mean? People learn something not just from his speech, not just from his action, even when he did nothing. Right? Why? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, the knowledge of the believer is in his deeds. The knowledge of the hypocrite is in his speech. Actions speak louder than words. So he goes, knowledge was oozing from him. He goes, we just sit and even didn't say anything, we would learn. Then he said, wisdom spoke to him from every angle. Because he would say something and we would be reflecting upon it. For hours, days, weeks, thinking, where? Like he said, nuggets of gold. Then he said, he kept himself aloof from the world and its attraction, taking comfort from the night and its darkness. Allahu Akbar. The world, and he just kept aloof from it because he didn't want nothing to do with it. And the comfort was when he was by himself in the middle of the night. Complete opposite for most of us. The world is what attracts us. Nighttime, you're thinking, well, you don't even go into nighttime anymore. What do we do at night? Astaghfirullah. Then he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ali radiallahu anh, shed many tears, remained deep in thought for long periods. He would often turn his hand over and address himself. He liked simple clothing and rough food. So let's look at this. He shed many tears. one report says that if a person can't shed tears, it's a bad sign. Obviously, those who were close, they shed a lot of tears. And he did contemplation, very high act of worship, which people neglect. 1 hour of contemplation is better than 60 years of worship. Because he did this a lot, I noticed. Because he would be contemplating about things. He goes, he turned his hand. Now, what does that mean? It means he talked to himself. So if you didn't know him, because you're thinking, why is he talking to himself? Because he like, rebuked himself like this. As if he said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He likes simple clothing and roof food. Then he said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was just like one of us when we met him. He would make us sit close to him and he ensured he would answer our every question. Despite being close to us and us being close to him, we were too overawed to speak to him. So he was just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would make them sit, because come close, sit, ask, because I'll answer. And he goes, but we would be shaking in his presence, thinking, no, we can't even ask. Then he said, when he smiled, his teeth appeared like a string of pearls. He showed enormous respect to the learned in matters of the deen, and he showed enormous love towards the poor. Allahu Akbar. Think about how he's describing him. He goes, when he smiled, he's like the Prophet, he's Banu Hashim. They were all blessed with extreme beauty. He goes, he had that $1 million smile, like a string of pearls. He goes, and he would show enormous respect to ulama, like Ibn Masud. So when he came from Al-Madinah to Iraq for the first time, and he saw lights in the masjids during Ramadan, the nights, he goes, may Allah Ta'ala fill the grave of Ibn Masud with light. Right? Why? Because he put this knowledge here. Now what's shocking, he's greater than Ibn Masud, but he always showed this love and veneration. Then he said he had too much love for the poor. Now look, think about that. Do we love the poor? You gotta be honest. And it's more to a lot of us, it's a duty. It's not a love, it's a duty. You should help them, you should help them. But when you're making that statement, that's not love. It's like saying, you should help your son. You get offended by that. But I should help my son, right? Why? Because you love your son or your daughter. Because he had immense love towards the poor. Then he said, in front of him, a powerful person never expected to succeed in his false claims. And a weak person never lost hope in his justice. So simply put, if you've got the most eloquent, powerful man, he goes, he couldn't get nothing out of Ali. And if you got somebody who nobody would even know help, he goes, he would expect help from Ali radiallahu. Then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to the night when I once saw him with my own eyes, sitting in his mihrab, when the night had drawn its curtains and the stars had vanished. He was holding his beard and he was kneeling, bending over, displaying distress like a person bitten by a scorpion. Look at the way he's describing Ali radiallahu anhu. Even in English, you're thinking, look at the look he's got for him. He's not just saying him like bland statements. He goes, he was sitting and he was like restless, and he goes, the night had drawn his curtains. He goes, he was like he's been bitten by a scorpion. He wept like a bitterly grieved person. And I can still hear his cries echoing in my ears as he was saying, Ya Rabbana, Ya Rabbana. O our Lord, O our Lord. In this way he humbled himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he goes, he didn't know I was watching. He goes, I noticed it. And he goes, he was so restless during the night. And he was crying. He goes, O our Lord, O our Lord. He then addressed the world. He started talking to the world. He goes, O world, are you trying to deceive me? Are you staring at me? Away with you. Away. Use your charms on someone else. I have divorced you 3 times. Talaq, talaq, talaq. Your life is short. Your company is demeaning. And people are easily endangered because of you. Ah, ah. The provision is short. The journey is long. And the road is dangerous. Allahu Akbar. So look what he said. It was the world. He goes, he's trying to trap me. And he goes, are you trying to deceive me? In other words, you're trying it with me. And he goes, get out. And he goes, I've divorced you. And he goes, you go and play your games with somebody else. And then he said that this statement would make the Ibn Taymiyyah weep. He goes, the provision is short, the journey is long, and the road is dangerous. Somebody asked Hafiz Ibn Taymiyyah, tell me about Ali, radiallahu anhu. And that's all he said, the last bit. He goes, the provision is short, the journey is long, and the road is dangerous. Meaning, you've only got 60 to 70 years for a journey which is tens of thousands of years. And if that wasn't bad enough, the road is dangerous. On hearing this, tears flowed uncontrollably from the eyes of Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu, onto his beard. And he began wiping them away with his sleeve. The people present were also choked with their weeping. Hazrat Muawiyah thereupon said, with a voice choked with and quivering with emotion, Abu Hassan, radiallahu anhu, was indeed as you have just described. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. So what's shocking? Muawiyah knew. He goes, you've described him. And he goes, may Allah ta'ala have mercy upon him. Then he looked at Dirar, and Muawiyah asked, radiallahu anhu, Ya Dirar, how did you react when you heard of his martyrdom? Dirar ibn Damira ibn Kinani said, I felt the anguish of a woman whose only child has been slaughtered in her very lap, whose tears now neither stop nor does her grief diminish. Allahu Akbar. So imagine somebody says to you, there's a mother and somebody slaughtered the only son of that mother in her lap. He goes, that's how I feel upon his death. And he goes, it's not going, the grief. After saying this, Dirar ibn Damira ibn Kinani stood up and he left. So let's look at this. So I've mentioned brief about this. Why is Hazrat Muawiyah asking this Tabi'een to relate the virtues of Ali in the capital of Islam? Because he was making sure everybody knew how much he loved Ali radiallahu anhu. If he said it, they might think there's some, motive behind this. He was basically saying to the entire Muslim world, not just of his age, till Qiyamah, I have great love for Ali. And he wept. But even though he knew the description, because he wept. And then he goes, you've described it perfectly. And look how touching, the people all were choked. And so meaning they were all sincere believers in the courtroom of Muawiyah. Because, there was nothing personal against the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Allahu Akbar, such indeed was our example for excellence, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu anhu, karramallahu wajhu. So the reason I mentioned this here is because of the report. So the deviants, just to finish, they are fond of quoting this hadith. They will say, look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La yuhibbu aliyan munafiqan wa la yabghaduhu mu'min. A hypocrite will not love Ali, whilst a believer will not hate, despise, or be jealous of him. Because they will say, do you believe this hadith? He goes, yes. Sahih hadith. He goes, then how can you defend Muawiyah? Right? And now you have to explain. He said, look, I don't need to defend him. He's a Sahaba. But it's an honor for us to defend him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever defends my companions, I will defend them on the day of judgment. The Prophet promised that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an honor for us. But his own words are enough. He was promoting and mentioning the great virtues and greatness of Ali. And just to finish with a quote, the Rawafid, they say, astaghfirullah, they go, Hazrat Muawiyah hid the virtues of Ali to such an extent that when Ali was martyred, and he was martyred when he was going to offer Salat, Fajr, the people said, does Ali pray? That's in their books. Think about that. Because Hazrat Muawiyah convinced Sham that Ali doesn't even offer Salat. Now think about that. You have to be a scholar to realize this is just absolute slander against Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. How, first of all, how is he going to, is he a magician? Astaghfirullah. That nobody knows the virtues of Ali. So note again the contrast. And that's why it's so important that you go through the truth, realize what the truth is with regards to the matter. So all I mentioned today was now again explaining critically that beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, giving you some of the important essential details, which I'll go through more at length at the relevant time, inshallah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شاءتهم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر